This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Show originating from the Investar Tower in Baton Rouge, and your number is 877-217-5757. Robin Dow is producing. Hope you had a good Labor Day. Mary Stein from the East Baton Rouge Parish Library is in for her monthly visit. Again, 877-217-5757. Emails to talk at talklouisiana.org on the 3rd of September. What was that Temptations song? It was the 3rd of September.
There you go. Right. And I can hardly remember.
I remember one of the great lines in that song. And when he died, all he left us was alone. Papa was a rolling stone. Mary Stein, a rolling stone, who spent most of her career right here in East Baton Rouge Parish. But you started in another place, didn't you?
That's right. I've been around.
Yeah. Well, you and I were at Pentagon Cafeteria together.
That's right.
That place is still around, by the way. It has a different name, but it's still around. Well, I walk by there and I have pleasant memories.
And there was delicious food to be had.
Delicious?
Yes. Trust me. If you take that same food and serve it up in a silver tray, you immediately presume and assume that it's fabulous.
Well, it actually was okay. It was fine, and you could eat healthy there. And I remember Daryl Royal, the football coach at Texas, a great coach, he says, all these guys who are old, they talk about how great their mama's cooking was. He says, mama's cooking wasn't that great. It was just that you were a lot hungrier when you were younger. So everything tasted great then. So everything tasted great at Pentagon Cafeteria.
All right, I'll take that as a win.
And as we regress. I still remember in a driving rainstorm, they served ice cream, remember?
Yes, yeah. We did.
And these two young female students at LSU, they're running through the rain and they're singing, ice cream in the rain, ice cream in the rain. But anyway, East Baton Rouge Parish Library, one of the great entities, celebrating its 85th anniversary. And during that time, we have a literate, as in a-literate, not illiterate, a-literate population here. Over 123 million books have been checked out.
That's right.
And you've counted every one of them.
Every single one of them. Checked out and back in.
Well, that's amazing. I think that pound for pound, we're probably one of the most literary populations in the country, and yet we have problems on the other side too. But those who do read, they seem to read a lot, and they like to go to the library, Mary Stein.
They do. E-books, of course, are fabulous and wonderful and convenient, but people still come for the physical books. And in fact, the younger crowd is turning more and more to physical books. They like that tactile, visceral feel. They, in their personal books, they make notes in them, kind of like a diary. They trade their books around. It's kind of like the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. So it's really a renaissance for library with the book publishing world.
And I don't know how you've counted this, but if anyone can, it's Mary Stein. You've answered close to 29 million questions. You've actually charted the questions
for
the year.
Yes,
right?
We've got our little hash mark going. And that doesn't tell you which of the questions change people's lives, but whether it was just a quick information or something really profound, we're so proud of the work that Library Information Service has done.
And you started there. You're celebrating an anniversary,
That's
too.
That's right. I've been there for 40 years plus.
Almost half of the 85 years. And a listener is already texting saying, I thought it would be older than that. We didn't have libraries before?
We did. We had a volunteer library back at the beginning of the 1900s. It was a volunteer library, and it was on the second floor of the fire station downtown near the cathedral. And it was a ladies' project, and they, I love this, they paid for the books because of the money people paid when they used the ladies' restroom. So that's what put the books in the very first volunteer library.
And I love numbers. That's why baseball is my favorite sport, is the numbers it creates. But you've had 75,000 meetings in those 85 years.
And that's just since 20 years, because we didn't have meeting rooms that in many of the libraries. Right.
That means you're doing about, according to my math, that'd be about over 3,500, about 3,700
a year.
Meetings a year.
That's right.
3,700 meetings a year?
When you scatter them around the various branches that have meeting rooms.
That means you're doing 10 a day.
It seems like more sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. With 1.25 million attendees the last 20 years.
That's right. These are the citizens of our parish coming in to go about their cultural business, their homeowner business, their interest business, all those things.
Well, how are you going to observe the 85th anniversary, Mary?
Well, I've been asked to provide cake, so we'll see. It's like, maybe there will be cake, and if you're lucky enough, you'll catch it. We'll see what social media does for that.
Well, there should be. 1939 to 2024 started with a location on Laurel Street,
That's
right?
That's correct.
Downtown Baton Rouge.
Which is now the United Way building now.
That was the first library, and that is a majestic building. It's got that Art Deco theme.
Yes,
that,
and the beautiful frieze became
Don't you love that architecture and those steps?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, terrible for ADA, but wonderful for a look.
Well, that's true. You're right. How do you get in and out of there if you're not mobile? But September brings us to one of our favorite guests, and it's been too long, but a guy who's certainly familiar to those at WRKF and to National Public Radio, Ed Cullen. Ed Cullen is coming for a talk. What's going on with Mr. Ed?
Well, we're going to get Ed out of the woodpile. So years ago, he put together some of his favorite essays into a compilation called Letter in a Woodpile. And these are some of the essays that he may have written for the paper or spoke on NPR on All Things Considered. And he'll be there to read some of his excerpts. He is kind of an expert on human nature.
And
Dr. Press Robinson is also coming in September. Mm-hmm. So he is a much storied, rich character. And he's going to talk about his career and his thoughts and such. So some wonderful programs for adults, and we'll be featuring Clementine Hunter and her work in the Baton Rouge lecture. The library does have some of our own paintings of Clementine's that were given to the library in the 60s. And we have some of the more unusual ones, the abstracts. So we'll be talking about her work as kind of a companion program to what's going on downtown at the Museum of Art. So fun things for adults.
Ed Cullen, fine man, born in the summer of 46, I believe, and unlike three presidents who were born in the summer of 46 in June, July, and August, Trump, Bush, and Clinton, he actually served in the Vietnam War. So maybe we should have had President Cullen.
Well, let's bring it up.
I've never asked him. I wonder if he's any relation to Bill Cullen. Remember him?
Oh, right.
Bill Cullen, great game show host back in the day.
Yeah.
Probably not. There are a few Cullens out there. Mm. But I jumped the gun last month, but it's this month. It's September 15th, which is not that far away, just 12 short days, the premiere of Press Robinson's Pressing Forward. Mm-hmm. That's substantial.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And there'll actually be someone's done a short video of his compilation of his life, and we'll have that as well. And Dr. Robinson will be there. Of course, he'll have copies of his books, and he'll be speaking about his journey. What a journey it has been.
Well, yeah, and he is a person we should remember with reverence. Mm-hmm. Now, we've commented more than a few times the preponderance of library cards, and I know you're signing up because of a new wrinkle. Mm-hmm. How's that going?
You know, we're picking up between 300 and 500 kids a week, so that's good, but slow and steady wins the race. I still have many thousands more to go. So parents, call us.
And this is Library Sign Up Month, isn't
it? It is. So you might as well do it. You might get a sticker.
It's been it's not around just because of the new environment. It's been around since 1987, Library Sign Up Month.
Right.
And you've done an amazing job. Now, a listener asked about the new computer age and how it's changed libraries, and you've got stats about the tech world since 1999.
It
is amazing the number of people who have made this adjustment.
That's right, and it started with the staff. We had to go first, but yes, we actually got our first public computers from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. They picked Louisiana to endow with a core collection of public computers at every public library, and we've never looked back. So Wi-Fi, of course, is getting more and more robust as people get more and more smart devices. But the use of the computers in the buildings is still happening, and people are still coming in to compute, get on the internet, print, work on their resumes, work on their job skills, and do their homework, sure.
And a listener asks about the new environment regarding library cards, and parents choose between several categories, and I see you have them listed in the current issue of The Source, which
That's
you can
right.
get at any East Baton Rouge Parish Library.
That's right.
What are the ways to do it?
So if your child already has a card, one of those cards we froze on June 1st, and you want that child to just keep that same old card, that's the simplest thing. You either call us, you go to the computer where we have a press the button kind of thing, or you email the circulation department, and then we just unblock it. If you want a more restrictive card or a less restrictive...
Okay, hold tight. We're going to continue with Mary for a few more minutes. This is Jim Inkster, and you are listening to Talk Louisiana. Your number is 877-217-5757, and we're wrapping it up with Mary Stein, who's making her weekly visit, weekly as in this week, but she'll be back next month. It's actually a monthly visit, and she is here to extol the virtues of the East Baton Rouge Parish Library, which is celebrating 85 years this month, and during that time, it has been an amazing show of power with over 123 million books checked out here in Baton Rouge. It all started on Laurel Street in 1939. Long time ago, just a few years after Huey Pierce Long died at the Capitol. But those four ways for parents to choose, I want to get that out. And by the way, there is a form available at your website, ebrpl.com.
That's right.
So you can go there.
We tried to make it easy.
ebrpl.com. And as far as parental consent, what's necessary?
So if you're happy with the card that your child has had for the past many years, you just tell us. And then we just unblock it, and everybody keeps on keeping on. If you want your child to get a computer use only card where all they can do is get to the digital library and they don't already have such a card, you have to come in. If you want your child to have the most restrictive card there is, where a child can only check out a physical book from the children's room, they can't check out a book from the teen room, even if it's the same book, which creates problems for Diary of a Wimpy Kid and Rick Riordan and Harry Potter, you have to come in person because it's a brand new kind of card for us. If you want the unrestricted card, we're calling that the Explore card. That's a new card for us as well. And that one is the one where parents are choosing that one. Very few parents are choosing the restricted card. Less than 1.43% have chosen that. They're actually choosing to keep what they already had or go or explore. And that means the child can check out any book from any collection, even if you're not standing right there with them. And we assume that you as the parent will pay attention to what the child is bringing home and be part of that selection
All
process.
Right. Julie on Hundred Oaks, I know you've been waiting just a bit. Julie, you're on with Mary Stein. Good morning. Welcome to Talk Louisiana.
Thank you. I'm enjoying the library nostalgia, and I wanted to share a little story from the mid-1990s, which was before the internet age when people really did call the library, and maybe they still do, sorry, call the library to find things out that you couldn't find out any other way. And I was at work having a little debate with my coworkers about the origin of my maiden name, Baron. They didn't believe me it was French. So I got on the speakerphone and I called the library, and a gentleman answered, and I explained my question, and he researched it and gave us the answer. And in the middle of it, he said, "Is this Julie?" I was confirming my coworkers', you know, suspicions that I was extremely nerdy. That was a mutual friend named Dan Forrest who
All
had
right.
answered the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what a great story. Thank you for sharing, Julie. Thank you. Patrick in Ennis-Wald Estates has been waiting, too. So, Patrick, we want to slide you in. I know you're a literate man, not illiterate, but illiterate. Patrick, you're on.
I am. Thank you, Jim. Hey, Mary, so I got a question. Let's say I get an unrestricted card for my child, and they're like 10 or 11. Can they check out, because when I was 11, I did the same thing. Can they check out The Joy of Sex? And I just want to know the answer.
Their card could be used to check out that book if you could find it. but again, we're going to expect that you as the parent are monitoring what, first of all, where they're going when they're in the library and what you've been doing and what they're doing. So they won't be allowed to check out an R-rated movie. We just said we're just not going there. But as far as books on the shelf, we're going to assume that you as the parent will be parenting.
Okay, and got a few emails, and Robin's going to choose one for me to read. And of course, we always enjoy the reaction to Mary. Here's Bill Huey. I practically grew up in the downtown Laurel Street Library. In addition to wonderful books, there were old Viewmasters with the round slide discs of historical sites and exotic places. Love the place. That's from Bill Huey.
Nice. And now we put those digitally in the digital archives. Wonderful things about Baton Rouge history.
Well, thank you, Mary.
It is
always a pleasure to catch up with the lady who is a fixture at the East Baton Rouge Parish Library, and we don't want that to ever change. Never change. When you go, the library goes, Mary.
Oh, that's not true at all.
I have a feeling it'll continue, but it won't be the same without Mary Stein, and you're going to be around for a while.
That's right. I'm having a great time.
I
believe
tell.
In my mission, so I'm
Your enthusiasm is infectious.
Thank you.
And as we segue to Billy Clark, who's sauntering in a moment, Robin Dow, this is the 3rd of September. I think I remember a song from back in the day. That's a good way to segue. Temptations, right? One of the great Motown sounds and one of the great songs from that era. You won't ever forget this if you hear it one time. It'll stick with you all day long. It is one of the tributes to music from the 1960s from Detroit, Michigan.
The best.
This is a long music bed, very long music bed. Robin, I think we better go to Billy Clark. But anyway, it is a great song. Billy Clark, good morning.
Good morning.
And this is a success story of renown in our community, the Delta College in Baton Rouge. And when you use the term for-profit college, sometimes people say, well, that's a scam. That's a scam, but you have a success story. And it's a family affair, isn't it?
It is. Started in 1973 by my dad.
1973. So
yes,
last
sir.
Time I checked, that's 51 years ago. And
yes,
you
sir.
Took over when?
Oh, man. He retired at 64. So what's that, 30 years ago?
Well, at 64 years old.
So I was 34. I'm 61. So
I now can do the math. That's 27 years. So you've been in charge for most of those 51 years, and like anything else, there have been some ups and downs, but now you're thriving. Why are you thriving?
Well, we just keep doing what we do well. We serve our students. We're all about career training, and that's what we do. So our students come, they're successful, and they tell their friends and family.
Well, you have how many students?
Well, we have six campuses. statewide. And across the six, we have about 1,000.
1,000 students. And I'm told you have an exceptional graduation rate. And you employ many of the nurses who are working in this community. Tell us more about that.
Yes, sir. So we do have a really good graduation rate. It's hovering around 70%. Matter of fact, since 2002, we have graduated a little over 65% of all of our students. And our nursing program.
What's that percentage again?
A little over, like 65.7 or some odd.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's as most colleges would dream of a graduation rate like that. It is a one-year program, isn't it?
1 year and 2 years for the LPN program.
Okay. So 65.7%. I didn't know it was that good. We'll talk more about it with Billy Clark. If you got a question, 877-217-5757. We're back after this time out with more Talk Louisiana on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Billy Clark, who heads the Delta College, has since 1973. He was working with his dad then, but he's been there in charge for 27 years as the number one person, and it is one of the success stories in our community with a 65.7% graduation rate since 2002. Now, that is significant. You know, we've got two members of our congressional delegation without college degrees, and college degrees are four-year programs, but that's just it. Your college is for people. Like, I wanted to be a journalist. Delta College is probably not the place for me, but if I want to be a nurse or a truck driver, it's a very good place, isn't it?
Absolutely. You mentioned truck driving. We don't do truck driving, but lots of proprietary schools do. And for those that train to get their license in Louisiana, 100% of them come through the proprietary school sector.
And what are some of the others? Is it about half nurses? Is that about it?
So we graduate between just our colleges. We graduate between 15 and 20% of all the LPN statewide every year.
15 and 20%.
Right.
Now, there's a funding mechanism that involves funds from the government. And people say, well, why should a for-profit college get funds from the government? Well, Tulane University, which is a private university, gets funds from the government. How does that work?
So, you know, most of our students are eligible for Pell Grants and student loans and other federal benefits. And, you know, it's kind of like a check. You get to take it to the school that you think will do the best for you.
And it's been around for a while, so you've stood the test of time. And that graduation rate, I've done stories about the athletic department at LSU, and the rate is better, but there are creative ways of analyzing that. For example, they don't count the people who leave to go pro. They have creative ways of boosting it, but nonetheless, there have been great efforts. And I remember Nick Saban, when he was at LSU, he was responsible for that academic center for the athletes. And if you go by there and you look at the names on the building, I see only two LSU people as far as university employees whose names are on that building, which means they contributed probably at least $100,000. One is Tommy Karam, and the other is Nick Saban. There's no president, no coach, no athletic director, but they put their money where their mouth is. And as we know, the cost of education has gone up. And I'm told that your mousetrap is not cheap. It's not 4 years, but you're going to have to find some funds to go there, aren't you?
You are. And that's one of the great things that Louisiana has done in the last couple of years is come up with the Murphy J. Foster Promise Program. And that allows students that are seeking 2 year or less careers or career training in five major demand areas in Louisiana, healthcare, construction, IT, to access up to $6,400 over 2 years in grant money to help afford their college.
And a listener asked during the break about the requirements at Baton Rouge Community College. Is that a two-year program?
For the LPN program, yes.
And 2 years for other degrees, or does it vary?
They do have some short-term programs.
Some.
Yeah.
But we've had people from there, and it's, as we know, a beautiful facility, but the graduation rate, by their own admission, is not high. It's certainly not 65.7%.
No. But there again, they have a different mission. You know, their overall graduation rate is, it just went up this year. It's right at 20%.
20%.
Yeah, that's their best ever. But they also have a pretty high transfer out rate. And I'm not, I mean, this is publicly available data. I'm not saying anything well, that you can't find online.
A good question from Holly in the Garden District. Do you follow your graduates? Do you see if they're succeeding in life?
Absolutely. Matter of fact, our accreditation requires us to do so. If we don't have at least a 70% placement rate of all of our graduates, we're in trouble.
And another listener notes, and I'm not going to mention the name, but we probably can figure it out, that some for-profit colleges have not done well and have taken advantage of people, and you probably have to overcome that perception, don't you?
Yes and no. We've been here that so long that Louisianans know who we are. There are other colleges that aren't here anymore that in my opinion, charge too much and deliver too little.
Mm-hmm. And you have how many locations now, Billy?
We have 6 across South Louisiana.
6. And for a while, you were in Atlanta, weren't you?
I was. I was there for a couple of years. You know, thought we should expand out of Louisiana, and then didn't work out. We needed to be back home.
And it's why has it been successful here? Why is this an ideal place for something like this?
You know, I'd have to say my dad started it, and he left a legacy. You know, he always wanted to give people an opportunity to succeed.
Well, we always look for success stories, and 51 years is a pretty good track record. And this is, for all intents, a mom and pop. You've got several kids, I know. Are any of them interested in following dad's footsteps?
So actually, I have my number 7 child is number 7 is working with us. And I have 4 nephews that work with us. So it's kind of nice to follow that up.
Well, I think that's probably one of the reasons why it's worked for you. You're all in.
Yes, sir.
It's
yes,
the
sir.
Company, it's the family business, and it serves a purpose. But nurses, certainly you talk about a noble profession. That's about as good as it comes.
It is. It is in most of our colleges are all allied health and nursing, and the nursing program is our most popular, and it's also the most difficult. Matter of fact, it got to be where we were losing so many students in the first quarter that we started requiring the first class before you come to class. We developed an online hybrid class. It's free, and you have to pass that before you can get into the rest of the program.
And here's a good question from Tracy at the Capitol. Your minority representation, I would imagine it's significant.
It is. It's depending on the campus, it ranges from 60% to 85% minority.
Really? Mm-hmm. Really? Well, you're doing good work. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time today.
All right.
Billy Clark from Delta College. And in studio, 63 days before the election, the esteemed pollster, the dean of pollsters in Louisiana, pulled the microphone up, Bernie. Bernie Pinsonat is here. And we're in a situation in Louisiana. I've noted, Bernie, in the last 4 presidential elections, every parish in the state has voted identically. Every parish. Yeah. All 64. 4 straight times. And that includes not only 2 races with Trump, but it also includes the Mitt Romney race against Obama and the John McCain race against Obama. And I would imagine, barring something really unforeseen, like our friend Daryl Glasper, who's been right when we were wrong, as we know, he said last night that he thought Kamala Harris would lose in East Baton Rouge Parish. I said, I don't see that happening. I think she'll win here. And, of course, that affects the mayor's race. And those are the 2 big ones, hotly contested on the ballot. Now, we know in Louisiana who's going to win the presidential electoral votes here, unless something really unusual happens. But we don't know about mayor. But all of that ties together. And in Louisiana, in the last cycle in East Baton Rouge Parish, the turnout was 70% for the presidential election. As we know, the turnout for the governor's election was 35%. So a lot of people are juiced up about the presidential election. How does that affect everything else?
Well, when you're talking about the parishes all voting similar or the same, it's something you learn as a pollster. I can be talking to someone from West Cow Parish or Tensaw or Acadia, wherever, when you're talking about national politics, the voting patterns just don't change that much. You run a, especially when you run a survey in Louisiana on the presidential and you look at the various parishes and how they stack up, they there's very little change. It may change in 50 years from now, but I don't expect it to change in the next eight. So it's pretty predictable. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of change in the presidential, how we view Democrats. It's primarily Democrats and Republicans. As you know, personality really doesn't play that big a role in it. It's based on party.
Well, in some places it does, but in East Baton Rouge, I think any generic Republican is likely to win.
Yeah.
And any generic Democrat's likely to lose in the state, but in East Baton Rouge, it's the other way around. And we remember the day when this was a Republican parish and the state was blue.
Yep.
It's turned completely around.
Yeah, I worked for Bennett Johnston for Senator Bennett Johnston for 8 years. And I mean, just go back to that time versus this time. Bennett Johnston would be considered a pretty conservative Democrat. I don't think he'd even have a place in the National Democratic Party if he voted the way he voted back then.
877-217-5757. Let's go to Rosemary on government. Rosemary, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Yeah, I actually just had a comment about the graduation rates that.
Okay, well, we passed that discussion, but you sound like an interested person and a first-time caller, so get it off your chest, Rosemary. What about the graduation rate?
Just the graduation rates in the allied health programs are much higher. The overall graduation rate reflects all students, but the graduation rates for the allied health, the RN, LPN, and the other allied health are much, much higher. I don't know the numbers, but...
All right. Well, you make a good point, and I appreciate your interest in the show. David in Atlanta. David, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, gentlemen. Mr. Pinsonet, there's an ABC Washington Post poll where Kamala Harris has far fewer negatives than Donald Trump. And it's a huge number, like 30 points or so. Does this spell doom for Trump, or is it a canary in the coal mine? What do you think?
What about the national election, which is close, at least right now, 9 weeks away?
Well, I'm not so sure that the negatives eventually do count, of course, election day, but it's hard to look at that aspects of it because the United States right now is split pretty much Republican-Democrat.
Okay, we'll talk more with Bernie Pinsonet when we return after this timeout. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Robin Dow producing, and your number is 877-217-5757. David in Atlanta called a few moments ago, and he was talking about approval ratings, which sometimes can affect a presidential election or any election, but usually it depends on your opponent. You can have a bad approval rating, but if you're right on the issues, according to those who are voting, they quite likely will swallow hard and vote for you or against you, depending on point of view. And neither candidate has a great approval rating, but Kamala Harris is certainly a better favorability ratings. Harris is underwater by 1.1%, and Trump's underwater by 9.4%. But Real Clear Politics, which follows the betting odds in Vegas, Trump, this has been topsy-turvy, despite falling behind in several swing states, albeit very close and within the margin of victory. Trump is now the favorite to win again, albeit very close, 49.7 to 48.8. It shapes up as an extremely close election. We're 9 weeks out, and the seven states that will determine the winner, where all the action will be. Think about California with 1/8 of the American population will be totally ignored. New York will be ignored. Texas will be ignored. Florida will not get much action. But the states where it all is going to happen, if you own a radio station or a television station or a newspaper in Arizona, Nevada, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Georgia, this is going to be a very good year for you. It's going to be a 9 weeks of fun in the sun, Bernie Pinsonet.
Lots of money being spent. Lots of mailers, lots of radio, direct advertising. and, you know, touching and feeling and getting to those voters is the primary focus of those campaigns. From this day forward, it's about getting, you know, touching those people and getting them to go vote.
In those states, I've never seen anything like this. Right now, Trump is ahead in three, Harris in three, and one is tied. Nevada is a dead heat at 47.6 for both. And this is a compilation of polls, not just one poll. In Arizona, Trump's ahead by 0.5. In Wisconsin, Harris by 1.4. In Michigan, 1.1 for Harris. In Pennsylvania, 0.5 Harris. North Carolina, 0.6 Trump. And Georgia, 0.2 Trump. So a very close race. But if Harris wins Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, she, according to this accurately, would have 270 electoral votes, provided she wins that congressional seat in Omaha. Wouldn't that be something? Then it'd be 269 and go to the House. But that's where we are right now as far as the prediction on the Electoral College. Now, people get upset when I talk about it, but Louisiana just doesn't vote for Democratic presidential candidates anymore. But last time, this is East Baton Rouge Parish in the presidential election, Biden 56%, Trump 42%. And in the cycle before that, Hillary 52, Trump 43. So Hillary won here by 9 points, and Biden won here by 14 points. What's happened in East Baton Rouge Parish, Bernie Pinsonat?
The Democrats are, it's about 50-50, the voting white Republicans, white Democrats, white independents versus and plus black voters, of course. And so it's, but you have an area around Baton Rouge that votes Democratic. They're called white moderates, and they tend to vote. There are enough of them to vote for the Democrat, no matter who it is, that I think, what, Obama carried EBR.
Obama carried it, and I'm looking in that same election in 2016, Foster Campbell beat John Kennedy in East Baton Rouge Parish and lost 60-40 statewide.
Right. There's no way you're going to see a Republican win in East Baton Rouge Parish. It's day's not over, but it's close to being over.
Well, last time it was in East Baton Rouge, 115,577 for Biden, 88,420 for Trump. And the third place finisher was Joe Jorgensen, libertarian, who was on this show, 2,440. And then next, in fourth place, Kanye West, the birthday party. 619 citizens, great citizens of East Baton Rouge Parish, they voted. And God bless them. If they vote, they're good citizens, Bernie Pinsonat. They voted for the birthday party candidate.
Well, like I tell people in any time and every time, as a pollster, as somebody involved in politics, if you don't happen to vote in these elections, I really don't care about you. I'm not going to waste my time sending you mail. I'm not going to spend a lot of time and effort on your opinion. Your opinion only matters if you vote. And the first thing we do in elections is look at a voter's list of who voted, and we start zeroing in those people. We also then look at how often you vote. So you get additional mail or additional calls or additional media aimed at your particular situation in life if you're a voter, and the frequency is very important.
Okay. So it's going to be heavy turnout. We got a mayor's race with five candidates, two really strong Democrats, the incumbent, Mayor Broome, seeking a third term, Ted James, longtime Politico, former state rep, former Biden administration official, and then three Republicans. The coach, Sid Edwards, Steve Myers, and Nathaniel Hearn. Now, last time in the mayor's race, there were only two Democratic candidates, same as this time, and collectively they got 55% of the votes. Now, the Republicans had a stronger field then, and they had three candidates running really, really active campaigns. In Steve Carter, Jordan Piazza, Matt Watson. Carter got 20 in the primary, Watson 13, and Piazza 10. So that's 43 from those three. Can this assortment of Republicans get 40% of the vote in a primary?
Yeah, I think it's possible, but bottom line is they get in the run. You know, they'll get in a runoff.
Will they though?
But with three. But last time you had three strong Republicans and Carter made it. Will that happen again? People like you apparently think that it's iffy, and it could be iffy if it could be the Ted James and you know, of course, the current mayor.
Well, I would think that just ballparking it, that if the mayor got of the 60% that votes Democratic, she got 35 and James got 25 of that 60.
And then
of the remaining 40, she's probably going to get a little of that, like 1 or 2%, and he'll probably get, you know, he's getting some support in the white business community. Let's say he gets 4 and she gets 2. Well, that leaves 34 for the remainder, and we've got James right now, according to my prognostications, at 27. So that means Sid Edwards would have to get 28 of that 34,
right?
Which he could do. So I can see how people do the math and say he's the guy, and Michael Baychok's convinced it's going to be a runoff between Broome and Sid Edwards, and so is Woody Jenkins, and they may be right. But I wouldn't count out Ted James.
No, because we, you know, most of it is activity that you and I don't feel on a daily basis. How well is Ted James cutting into her?
Well, and
her
the listener
base?
Just corrected me. If he's getting 4 and she 4 of the conservative vote and 25 of the quote liberal vote, that's 29. That forces Sid to get 30, which he could still do.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I can sit here and talk about it all I want, but you have to be almost involved on a daily basis on the streets as to who's doing what. The street activity, especially in as far as the mayor, she's always been very strong. She's always had a good organization. She's had the help of the ministers and the church and all of those organizations, which provided her with enough turnout
she's
be victorious.
I think going to get a majority of the black vote in the primary, and it'll be a heavy turnout, but there'll be heavy turnout among whites too. So
and
Sid Edwards is likely to get a plurality of the white vote, a plurality.
Right.
So
The presidential is a great election in Louisiana, especially when you have a contested presidential. So you have every time you have this type of election, it's great for people in politics because we get a look at all of the voters. You're getting 80%, which most of the time, as you know, in Louisiana, we're down at a 10, 15, 20, 25. The governor's race was 35 last time. So getting an 80-plus turnout is a great look at who actually votes in Louisiana.
James in Lafayette. James, we want to slide you in before the finish line. James, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. How you doing? Hi. I have a very important question. Harold Perkins is probably one of the best edge rushers in the country, and yet LSU has him playing as a coverage linebacker. What do the polls show about whether or not that's a good decision?
Well, Brian Kelly blamed his players for the defeat, which is always bad form. And Bernie Pinsonat, Coach Kelly, he's got the luxury of he's in the third year of a 10-year contract in which he gets a 90% buyout. Not much pressure there, but he looked like a man under immense pressure in the post game. He did not acquit himself well, blaming his players, and that's always something that's not good to get your players to play hard for you the next time. What do you think, Bernie Pinsonat, and about Harold Perkins? Is he being misused by Brian Kelly, his star defender?
I'm going to defer to people out there who pay a lot.
By the
more
way,
I
was in Houston, and a guy. I was sitting at a hotel watching it on television, and a guy from Notre Dame sitting right next to me. He says, "I said Brian Kelly's the winningest coach in Notre Dame history," and he said, "Yeah, and he's also the losingest coach in Notre Dame history." Until tomorrow, thanks for listening. Stay safe and stay tuned.